There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Reminder, too. So last hour, my conversation with Chip Brown, that'll be put up later on today as a podcast, so you can get through our app is the best way, the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app for free. Just look for FM TALK 106.5. That's available on Google Play for Android users, or if you're an iPhone user, the App Store. Download the app. It's got traffic maps. It's got latest weather information, show schedules, streaming, obviously, of our audio right there. The talk back feature where you can leave us a message there by using that microphone icon, plus access to our social media or 55 hours a week of podcast. All that is on there. So you go back and check out the podcast from last hour, share that with somebody, because the insight we get with Chip, or my interview with my friend Bryant Knight earlier in the week, who spent a lot of 20 years in Afghanistan there with Special Forces. Those conversations out there, you can share them and just go search them on the app, or you can go to fmtalk1065.com and check out our podcast or any of the other podcast platforms out there. In addition, conversation this morning, Dan Crenshaw was on with Dan and Dalton, and another great conversation. What we're trying to do here is give insight into this, and I will get to some of these texts here in just a second. But you know, not only as obviously a congressman and Congressman Dan Crenshaw, but a SEAL and a man who still wears openly, and I'm sure internally, the injuries he sustained fighting terrorism out there. But that interview, something to go back and check out for sure. Go back on the podcast page and grab that as well. So that's from this morning's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, their interview with Congressman Dan Crenshaw. Some of the texts here, we'll go through a few of these. You know, and I'm not, people are texting about the, you know, China and Taiwan situation and the bigger, you know, does this mean this, that, and the other? Those are all valid conversations and ones to have. I can't, when we have, now they've updated, oh my God in heaven, they've updated. Now at least 10 U.S. service members were killed in that bomb attack in Kabul. When we started the show, it was 4 Marines killed, 3 injured. Now an update here, at least 10 U.S. service members killed in Kabul. Right now, my focus is on our people. And the rest of this stuff we could talk about, and like I said, it'd be interesting going forward and all those, but right now, here's what's going on. Now, 10 service members killed in Kabul. The number of, Dalton didn't give me an update, but it's scores of Afghans killed as well in that bombing. And I see people on both sides of this. You know, people are saying, you know, what would the media be doing right now if this was President Trump's ordeal? Right. And I get where you're coming from, but on the flip side of that, too, I have somebody who, unnamed texter, which everything is negative, okay, said, funny how you people suddenly care about foreign policy. For the past 4 years, it was America first and America alone. Now, all of a sudden, the R's, I guess it means Republicans, are using foreign policy to score points. Unnamed texter, kiss my ass. I've never done that. Now, and I don't get lumped in, and I'm not an R. I'm an American man. So if you go back and listen, I've been talking about foreign policy ever since I've launched this show. Something that's interesting to me to talk about, right? And we've had conversations. I'm somebody who's been talking about getting us out of Afghanistan for a long time. but this is not how you do it. This isn't a score. Do you, okay. I'm in, far left activist with no name on the text line. Why don't you do this for me? Tell me what do you think that is this great? You proud of this? If you want to play the political side of this, you think Biden's done a swell job here? Do you think it's fantastic? Huh? Are you like, oh right, yeah, there's my President Biden. He did a hell of a job. Is that what you think? He's second. You kissing my ass. All right. Chuck says we're going to have to retake Bagram and Jalalabad and Kandahar to fight these SOBs. More dead military kids. Chuck, I don't know what to... Yeah, I mean, this. Now we're looking at 10. As they're sitting ducks there at that airport. There's a lot of text here that, you know, we'll jump all over President Biden later, but I will say this in the short term is... do you think he did a good job? If you're somebody who's upset by the discussion, do you think he did a good job? Do you think this is good? Are you proud of this? Yeah, somebody said, what about the choppers? There was a story, I don't know if it's fully substantiated. It came out in the New York Post. It said a video appears to show Taliban taking joyride in U.S. Black Hawk helicopter. I'll wait for some more information on that. I mean, it looks like it, but these days, just because you see a video... doesn't mean it's real. Let's get more information on that. But, I mean, we talked yesterday with the congressman. The number of... Think about this. Not only the black helicopters are there, assembled and flyable, we have basically new in box, unpackaged Blackhawks sitting there. people are suggesting to tell them to get... and they would pay the FCC fine for the station. I don't do that. Sean is one of my texters that has a sense of what goes on over there. He says he feels, first of all, he says it's Allah Akbar time again, and he feels like we are going back to war. I'm frustrated because, I appreciate all the people coming to my side on this. I appreciate that. But my concern is, and it has been this whole discussion, is the American people that are there. Even, those people that helped us, that we made promises to. We need to live up to that. Number one, yes, you can talk about the implications down the road. Would our allies trust us? Would people in foreign lands trust us if we have to go in there again? But even more importantly than that, you live up to your word. You live up to your word. And the aftermath of this, you know, people talk about the comparisons to the Iran hostage crisis. How many were in the Iran? It was 60 something. It was like 50. It's 50 or 60 that were held there by the Iranians. But this could be thousands of Americans held hostage there. And this is unfolding every second. And our casualty numbers coming up right now from this attack. Rest in peace to those Marines. God bless our armed services and the other Marines here. This is real and unfolding right now. All right, so we might talk about this later on in the hour. Coming back from the break, my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap. Lanyap Mobile is going to join me. He and I have not had a chance to talk about the Mobile municipal election since, so we're going to do a little bit of that when we return. Plus, I'll still take your text at 343-0106, and at the end of the hour, might get some more of this discussion about the situation in Afghanistan now. But, yeah... So it's beyond just, it was four Marines, and now they're saying soldiers. So what other branch, Army is there? I know there are special forces from all different branches there as well. 10 plus now killed in Kabul on the American side, let alone the people there. All right, we'll be right back. Dale Leash is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And going to take one quick call. I've got so many texts, too. I'll try to get through these, even if I don't do it on the air. I'll try to get through them. But our buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap is going to join us in just a second to talk about Mobile municipal elections. But first, one of my faves, when Damon calls, I take his call. Damon's in Mobile. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to briefly say that I heard your last call guest, Chip Brown, and I respect his service for this country over there. But the only problem I had is when he said that using patience and studying a situation is a sign of weakness. As a country of civilized people with Judeo-Christian ideals, I don't think we should just resort to despotism and following might versus right or just a position of strength as a result to every problem. If we had with the strength that we have, we could go in all around the world and just take over things with strength. And it's not biblically based, and it's the only thing I disagree with that he said.
All right. My focus on it is if we're going to flex, I want to flex to get our people out. You know, if we got to flex right now, let's flex. Let's get our Americans out and people who helped us.
I totally agree, but he was referring to something Obama.
Sure, he was talking about earlier in
years ago.
Yeah, 2007.
So I have to disagree with that.
All right, Damon, appreciate it, man. Thank you for the call. All right, and to shift gears here, because there's a lot to talk about. I can't believe it's gone this long without me talking. You know, I mean, Tuesday was municipal election. It's 48 hours later before I get to talk to Dale Leach from Lanyap about that. Hey, man.
Hi.
Hey. How did you score? Did you bet the election? Did it come out the way you thought it would? Did the runoffs go the way you thought they would?
I didn't bet it, but I should have because it pretty much went the way I expected. Stimson with 63% of the vote came out a lot better than I thought he would. I didn't think it would be a runoff in the mayor's race, but I thought it'd be a lot. I thought he'd get 51 and he ended up getting 63%. So, but I got all the other races were pretty much what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, District 1, and we'll get back to the mayoral for sure. But District 1, I mean, there was almost, it's not that you and I are any kind of soothsayers, but there were so many people in it, you're figuring that's going to be a runoff. I mean, just with
had
that
to
many.
Be. Had to be, yeah.
I was surprised surprised, not that Corey Penn is in the runoff, but I was surprised that Herman Thomas is in the runoff.
I wasn't. He's got good name recognition there. He's still in charge of a some nonprofit community groups out there, so people know who he is, and he's been doing some work in the community, and I think among many voters, he's done a complete rehab of his image. Whether or not people think that that's what should have happened or not, as far as rehabbing his image, I think he's been successful at it, and I think it's come out with him. You know, in this runoff for this election in District 1.
All right. So, and by the way, y'all, we have. I think it's. I don't have it in front of me because my internet's gone down again. But I think it's October 5th. Is that runoff? Is it 3rd?
That's
or
right.
5th. Okay.
October 5th is the runoff election date. So they got about 6 weeks. The candidates in the three districts that have runoffs will have an opportunity. We'll have 6 weeks to continue campaigning. So if you were like me and excited for the campaign to end, just buckle in for another 6 weeks.
As we go down the list here, so about another district that's in runoff, and that is District 2. So City Council President LaVon Bansi facing William Carroll in this runoff. There's two people, William Carroll, been on the council before. Obviously, LaVon Bansi is on the council. This is interesting. Is this LaVon's election to lose? You know, I feel like he has a big advantage here.
It's going to be tough for William Carroll to get the votes that he needs to get in order for him to overtake LaVon at this point. LaVon almost won it without a runoff. I think he got 48%. He just needed 50+1. So I mean, he was just a few votes short of pulling in enough support to not even have a runoff. So, I mean, it's definitely an uphill battle for William Carroll, and I think he'd probably tell you that. And I think LaVon's gonna secure some other endorsements. I can't announce any yet, but I think he's gonna secure some other endorsements soon based on this belief that he is going to be a lot more pliable when it comes to annexation and the annexation debate. Because you had a couple of pro-growth candidates in this election in District 2, and a lot of voters who were frustrated with LeVon in particular over that annexation vote in 2019. So I think you're going to see some of those pro-growth voters, some of those pro-annexation voters, when they start hearing that LeVon is more likely to vote for annexation in the next 4 years, turn to him and go with him for the future. So we'll see.
Am I off the mark here that I think this annexation vote comes back up this year? I mean, the new council seated November, whatever it is,
November 1st. I think you're more likely to, and here's why I don't think it'll be that quick. I think you're more likely to see it first of 2022. And the only reason is because, you know, we've gone down in population to 186 now, 186, 187, somewhere in that range, 1,000. So, you know, the 13,000 that we were, 13,000 and change we were going to annex in 2019, 2020, will now just barely get us past 200,000 people. And that is the mayor's main, Stimson, that is Mayor Stimson's main objective, is to get us over 200,000. So they're definitely going to have to rework some of those areas for annexation in order to get to squeeze a few more people in there. But yeah, I think it'd be foolish for me not to tell you they're already working on a plan.
Right.
I don't know that, but I think they're probably already sitting down working on a plan now that he's secured reelection. But I still think it'll be 2022 before we see another vote. But I think the belief is that the vote will be more successful this time.
District 3, a runaway win, not even close, exhibition game for C.J. Small. It was pretty dominant.
He almost went without any competition. I mean, his opponent, Mr. Karnreich, was one of those like late to the game campaigners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably impacted that as well. Plus, I think the vast majority of people in that district, you know, aren't up. You got to have, you know, if you're running for re-election, people have to be upset with you to go out and vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're content, they'll either vote for you again or they won't even show up. And I think at this point, I think that's what this was. It was like there wasn't, you know, a groundswell of people gunning for CJ at this point. So, you know, he's done a solid job, and I think that he's reflected that 90% 80-point margin of victory was evident of that.
Yeah, and we'll get to turnout here too in the second part of our conversation, because I think that's needs to be discussed here. Then you go to District 4. We got about a minute here for District 4, and then we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. This is the first of the districts where the outgoing council member hand completely backed a candidate, right? And John Williams completely behind Ben Reynolds. A 65% win.
He backed Ben Reynolds before he even announced that he wasn't going to run anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he was
all in
from the get-go that Ben Reynolds was his chosen successor, and that he may have been his de facto campaign manager, as far as he was mm-hmm. he was pushing him. He was very excited to get Ben on board, and I think that that resonated with folks who wanted to see him, you know, if he'd run again, wanted to see him reelected, was that this was the guy, this was his guy, this was the guy he wanted to take his place. And I think the voters understood that, and obviously that helped secure the victory for him.
All right, coming right back, more with Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. We'll take it through District 5, 6, and 7 there. Another runoff in the mix. Plus, we'll talk about the mayoral and the turnout. That's been a big part of the conversation as well, where those numbers were comparing this mayoral cycle, this municipal cycle, with ones in the past. We do that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Reminder, tonight, this season's inaugural Tiger Talk Overtime gets cranked up at 7 o'clock at the Voodoo Wing Company right there across from the University of South Alabama. Digging this place. Can't wait to see you out there tonight. I'm heading out for some wings and some visiting, so hopefully you'll come on out as well. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit parked out front right there. It's going to be just, if you hadn't been there, it's at the intersection of Old Shell and University. Okay, and so it's on Old Shell, just west of University, on the south side of the road there, across from South Voodoo Wing Company. But you see our vehicle there. Come on in and enjoy it. Show starts at 7, but we're going to be there visiting beforehand, too. And then, of course, from 6 to 7, Tiger Talk. That's tonight, 6 to 7, Tiger Talk Overtime with Doug Holton tonight at 7 o'clock at Voodoo Wing Company. All right, continue our conversation with my buddy and the man about elections and all things Mobile, Dale Leash with Landyap and LandyapMobile.com. We stopped there as we're kind of going down through the individual city council races, and we will get back to mayoral in a second. But let's talk about we look at District 4, pretty solid there for Ben Reynolds. Then District 5, actually with some competition, Joel Daves with 78% of the vote, but it wasn't. What were there three people running? Four people running? It was
there were three candidates, and it was. It was pretty early on, and we figured out that Joel Daves was gonna win re-election again. So not a lot of surprises there. But he did have two challengers. That was one of the easier ones to call.
And then there was District 6.
the race to replace Bess Rich. Is what I've been dubbing.
Yes.
That one.
Yeah.
And it is, it's kind of lived up to its billing. Now this is another situation. Now, I don't think Bess backed her chosen candidate nearly as hard as we talked about with John Williams, but Bess Rich, has endorsed Scott Jones in this race. So to see Josh Woods, get so close and make the runoff is frankly, it's impressive.
Yep.
I know that one of his Tony Dugash, the third place candidate in that race, is also backing Josh Woods.
Okay, that's
so
what
that
I did.
That should make that interesting. So if all of Dugash's voters come out and vote for Josh Woods, that's going to be a really close race.
Okay, so that's a question I have. When we look at runoffs, whether we're talking about state level, municipal, we start going, okay, here are the other candidates, and if they put their endorsement behind one or the other in the runoff, then that could sway it this way or the other, So Tony Dugash back in Joshua. But what about turnout? I mean, if we're going to get to the overall, but if turnout's low, how the heck is somebody who went and voted for somebody who's not in the runoff, what are the odds of them showing back up on October 5th to vote for? I'm not trying to. I want
true.
People to do that, but yeah. But will they? I mean, what kind of numbers?
I think it's a historical fact at this point that a runoff election never does the turnout numbers of a general election. So I think that's the case here. So you're right. You can't. That's why you can't go. A plus A equals. More votes, because who knows what Tony Dugash, people who voted for Tony Dugash, are going to do when October 5th rolls around. They may not vote at all, and so we don't know. And even as abysmal as the voter turnout in this election was, we're going to see even fewer people come out on October 5th. So it's still anybody's race, but I think Scott Jones definitely has the advantage right now. Finishing first and having Bess Rich's endorsement.
All right, and then pretty solid win for Gina Gregory in District 7. I think what 80% of the vote.
That's right. Yeah, she had the second highest percentage win over Alan Barnes. So really not a whole lot to talk about there. Just, you know, she's a very good candidate, a very good council person, and it showed.
All right. Let's go to the mayoral side. And, you know, I began this with the discussion of that and the percentage win for incumbent Mayor Sandy Stimson. It stood out to me for, number one, I mean, it's a substantial win. But number two, if you take the second and third place candidates in this race and put their numbers together, you're not even, it's like just over half of the number of votes that Stimson got. You know, I mean, it's like, it's a big win.
When you calculate the absentee ballots, which came in majority Stimson, by the way, I don't know if anybody saw that coming. He got a vast majority of the absentee votes. So when you factor that in, you're looking at, I think Stimson got 63% of the vote in a race that included five people. It's a statement right there. I think it's people just, you know, obviously thought he was doing a good job. And we talked about it with CJ, and I think it's the same with the mayor. There weren't enough people that were outraged enough by anything he's done to really want to vote him out of office. So I think you saw that in the turnout numbers as well. And of course, the COVID numbers, I have to report on them every week. I think that probably had an impact too. Although I don't want to discount that impact that had, but definitely an important win for Stimson.
All right.
Or an impressive win. Yeah.
Those turnout numbers we talk about, anemic, low. Give me a compare and contrast. Right. Take us the numbers once again. Set the number. What was the turnout? How many registered voters in the city of Mobile?
About 140,000 registered voters.
Okay.
In the city of Mobile. The last time that was the number I saw this morning. Of those, 34,000 voted or cast ballots in this municipal election. That's less than 30%. I'm not going to give an exact percentage because I don't want to get corrected, but it's less than 30. It's just abysmal. And to put it in perspective, 4 years ago when Sam Jones was running against Sandy Stimson, there were about 50,000 votes. So you're looking at 16,000 more votes 4 years ago than now, and you had more candidates running. So it's I get on my soapbox as a city hall reporter. It's very important to, I know everybody talks about presidential elections and elections for Senate and stuff, but I will contend the most direct connection between your wallet and the way government is run is in your city.
Preach.
You need to vote. You need to vote for in city elections. Those are actually probably more important than your national elections. No one will
Preach.
Ever listen to me when I say that, but it is the absolute truth. And I wish more people would take municipal elections seriously.
Hey, listen,
my soapbox.
I know we got to get a bigger soapbox because I'm on that same one with you. I mean, there's way so much attention on things that, you know, in national election cycles, I want to go, that's fine, but, you know, go vote when it's closest to you. All right, tell folks they want to get more of all this, if they want to go pick up the new Lanyap or check it out online, walk them through what they need to do.
Yeah, okay. Lanyapmobile.com is the website. You get all the daily breaking news, all the stories that were in the paper on the website, and you just have to subscribe. There's a subscribe button on there. Just go through that and fill out all the stuff. If you don't want to subscribe, it's available for free on newsstands all around the city. Just look for our purple boxes. And please support us because we like doing this work and we want to continue.
Yeah, y'all do a jam up job, and that's why I always will
Thank
support
you.
Y'all. And then it's going to be so interesting going forward. You and I getting to know the new members of the council and how they interact with each other and all that. It's going to be a lot of fun come November.
Can't wait till November. Cannot wait.
There it is, Dale. As always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Here he goes. Dale Leash, Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com. Coming back to wrap it up. Got some thoughts and want to hear from you as well. tragedy. Now, that number is up to 12 U.S. service members killed in Kabul with that pair of terrorist murder attacks that went on today.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, what a sad day. Number now up to 12 U.S. service members killed in the attack at the Kabul airport. Those two explosions. And you talk about the coordinated attack. You know, that's now just breaking. And Chip Brown was talking about it with us last hour. This complex attack, where you have one attack to move or funnel people in a direction, so the second attack is more deadly. Obviously, it shows a lot of planning in this. They've said ISIS-K responsible. Who knows? Who knows? I know this. Americans are dead. And you think about this. We started this show. Started the show at noon today. There were four Marines that had been killed, three injured. We're now up to 12 U.S. service members, so Marines and other soldiers, and soldiers killed in this. Each one of those people have, you should take a second, if you've ever been there, if you have, when this happens, they all have families and friends, and so it's not just those individual warriors, it's their family and friends. Think about the news today that they're getting on this failure of a evacuation of Afghanistan, and now 12 are dead. Moms and dads and daughters and sons and brothers and sisters and friends. So when that number goes from four at the beginning of the show to 12 here at the end, multiply the number of people affected. And people are going to ask, why? Why did we do it this way? Now, I don't think there's a lot of answers right now for that. I think we need to worry about the who did what, where, and all that. Down the road, right now, we need to get our people out. Continue to be the mantra that we've talked about the whole time, get our people out. Get the people we made promises to out. And if not, because does it look like we have, right now, we're on the defensive, we're on our heels after this attack there. Does it look like we're going to be able to go ahead and get everybody before the 31st? By the way, State Department said their press conference today canceled, the briefing canceled. We're going to be able to get all those people, and if we don't, we just leave. Without getting all the people, what are we looking at as well with, you know, hostages? You have 52 in the Iran hostage crisis, 52. Could be looking at thousands here. And what, they're held hostage for what? What in trade, right? And what do they want? More people released? Or are they summarily executed and put in videos like Daniel Pearl and others? So it's a very somber day. And once again, now they're even saying at least 12 service members killed. Remember, we started off with four Marines that were killed. Now we look at 12 and got families and friends, and it's a tough deal. And we'll continue watching this, obviously, and bring you the latest news on it. Do want to go to the phones. People have been holding on here. Let's go to Freddie in West Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Yeah, but I want to lead off by saying my condolences to all the families of the service members who go out there. As a Vietnam era veteran, I can tell you that it just cuts all the veterans in this country to the core to hear this happen when something like this goes on.
Are you okay? Because I mean, I got a group of people I'm calling every day. I can put you on it too, Freddie. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Okay. If not, let us know. There's plenty of resources, man. But we're here for you.
Okay. The other thing I want to know is I want to let everybody know that our annexation committee out in West Mobile is active. We have been for this entire time. And we will continue to be going forward, and we will be working with the mayor's office as we did before.
Do you think this is, you know, Dale and I were talking about that. Is this a 2021 thing or 2022 or 2023? What do you think the timeline is on it?
Well, I think I may have expressed it this to either Dale or John Chart one, but going forward, we kind of figured it would probably be somewhere near the first of the year, but who knows? I mean, there was a lot of things that went on this last time that we didn't foresee, and we got to update all our information, and it all goes back to getting back with the city. And one of the things that Dale alluded to was before the numbers were based on old numbers as far as the personnel or the areas to be annexed. Now we got to go back and relook at that.
Okay, and I do want to pick up this conversation. We'll be talking about it going forward, and you've always been a great resource on it. And I appreciate your call. I appreciate your service to our country as well, to all the veterans out there listening. Like we've been saying for weeks, we're here. The resources are there. Whether you work through us or groups like Team Fight or Die or the Veterans Assistance Line or my friends, our Marine Detachment here at FM Talk 106.5, Tom and Cal with the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Don't feel like there's not a resource, because we're going to make sure you get that person or yourself to the person that they need to talk to. All right, that's part of what we do, and we do it no matter what. All right, Greg is in Orange Beach. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. I just want to say the people of this country didn't vote for this. There's just no way the people in this country voted for what's going on now. I will go to my grave believing this was a fraudulent election, and I don't believe Joe Biden could make things worse in this country if he were trying to. And it almost seems like this is a concerted effort.
Well, and listen, there's going to be time, and Greg, we'll talk about all that and the blame going down the road. I think there'll be plenty of time for that. We got to all pull together as Americans right now, and hopefully, and I appreciate your call, and hopefully that message, because you know what? There's not, when we look at R's and D's and I's and whatever other letters people want to put behind their name, I don't think there's any American right now of any political stripe, you know, that goes, yeah, this is great. This is how we leave there. There's no one. That's what, you know, I was saying to Congressman Carl yesterday when he mentioned, you know, of folks that he had worked across the aisle with in the House of Representatives. If you're a Democrat representative, you're a congressman, congresswoman, senator, you're a Democrat, you're not like, oh, wait, this is swell. And let alone your constituents, whatever letter they have behind their name, are calling you saying, what the hell? So hopefully, while the commander-in-chief is the president of the United States and setting the executive branch, maybe some pressure, behind-the-scenes pressure, from Congress at large could do something. I'm not here sitting and I say I have all the answers to it, but I know what we're seeing right now is not the answer. Pray for the dead service members, Marines and soldiers. Pray for their families, their friends. They were just, a lot of them probably, you know, just deployed. We talked about the different people deployed, different groups deployed, different units deployed. They're probably going, listen, we'll be over there for a couple of weeks. We'll get these people out, and then we're coming home. I'll be home to see y'all by Labor Day weekend or whatever it is. I'll be home to see you by Halloween. At least 12 right now aren't coming home. All right, Paul Feinbaum next. Talk to y'all tomorrow.